Well, good morning. It's great to see you all. My name's Steve Kovitz, the lead pastor here. It's good to see some people I don't know. And so welcome along to our church family this morning. Great job, welcome team. We have a new system in terms of following our premier. We need to use the New South Wales service app, all of us, to check in. That's now a requirement for all organisations that meet publicly like this. And we still need you to be registering to come along as well, because we can only fit so many people in this hall. So well done, welcome team. Well done, us church, getting in here. And hasn't it been a great morning so far? Alison, thanks for your transparency. One of my prayers as we work through Psalm 119 for these 3 weeks is that we will grow as a more transparent family. I mean, we're given permission in God's word to say, my life stinks. It feels like it's going to end. It comes up over and over again in the Psalms. But we're directed to say that to our Father. We're directed to say that to our Father, to take our problems to our Father. And that's the bit of Psalm 119 we're going to be looking at this morning. So I'm going to ask for God's help and we'll get stuck into it. Father God, it is extraordinary that we can come before the Creator of the universe and call you Father. Your gospel is such great news. And Father, we pray that as we hear you speak, you will continue to make us fall more and more and more in love with you, that we would love to hear your word, that we would store your word in our heart, because we want to keep all your ways, because you're God and you're good. And so speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do have good news for us this morning. We are going to hear from God how to have a blessed life. Now, of course, we all want a blessed life. If we knew what blessed meant, I mean, that's just a tricky word, isn't it? Do we say blessed or blessed? And so I'm going to make it easy for us this morning. It was only 100 years ago, 200 years ago, that in our Bibles, instead of the word blessed, we would see happy. Happy. Now, we know what happy is, don't we? We want to be happy. We want to be blessed. All people actually want to be happy. 17th century Blaise Pascal famously nailed it. He wrote this: all people seek happiness. This is without exception. Whatever different means they employ, they all tend to this end. The cause of some going to war and others avoiding it is the same desire in both, attended with different views. The will never takes the least step but toward this object, happiness. Of course we want to be blessed. We want to be happy. And in Psalm 119, in the first couple of verses, God tells us how. Psalm 119, verse 1, have a read with me. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. And the Psalms actually open with this. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the person who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The path to happiness is the path of righteousness. It's keeping all of God's laws. It's meditating on them day and night. Do you want to be happy? Walk in the way of the Lord. Meditate on his laws day and night. Store them in your heart. Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Friends, that is the consistent message of the Bible. God made the world. He designed us. And so he's the only one qualified to tell us what the blessed life actually is. Now, last week we looked at Psalm 119 through the lens, God is God. We were reminded that God is creator, he is powerful, he's faithful, he's merciful, he's judge, he's true, he's good. And hopefully you read through Psalm 119 a couple of times during the week and discovered even more about God. God is God. He's eternal. He's cosmic. He's majestic. He is awesome. And so, of course, we listen to him. Of course, we want to do whatever he says. But let's be honest, as the psalmist was honest, we are not blameless. We're not able to keep God's laws. And so one of three things we tend to do with that information, we'll work around God. I want the blessed life, but God's way is too hard, so I'll try and work it out without him. Or we hear the blessed life is keeping God's law, and so we become crushed by God's law. Or we look at it and go, I can do that, and become proud. The writer of Psalm 119 recognized that he was not blameless, but he didn't ignore God. He wasn't crushed by that fact. And he definitely wasn't proud before God. And if we pay careful attention in Psalm 119, we'll discover that there's another way to deal with our problem that we're not blameless. We plead with God. The psalmist pleaded with God, and when we plead with God, we find out that God offers pardon. And so that's where we're headed this morning. We're going to look at our problem. We all want to be happy. We want the blessed life, but we're not blameless. So there's a problem. We're going to look at our problem. We're going to look at our plea, and we're going to look at our pardon. That's where we're headed. But firstly, to our problem. Now, last week, we discovered Psalm 119 is a long, personal prayer. It's personal. I mean, every verse is full of that I, you talk, except for the first three verses. I'm going to read them again. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. The first three verses act like an introduction to Psalm 119. They set the scene. And it's a glorious scene. It's the blessed life. It's the happy life. It's the life we want. And we obtain the blessed life by being blameless, by walking in the way of the Lord, by keeping God's testimonies, by seeking God with our whole heart. Now, an important little aside. It would be a mistake to narrow the scope of those first three verses to the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. When you read law and commands, if you only think of the Ten Commandments, that would be a mistake. I mean, just in the first eight verses, look at how God's word is described. It's referred to as law, as testimony, as way, as precept, as statute, as commandment, as righteous rule. As you keep reading through Psalm 119, there's your word, your truth, your promise. And so the blessed life is found by listening and obeying God speak through all of Scripture and following everything he says. Walking in the law of the Lord is so much more than keeping the Ten Commandments. We obey everything God says. And there's our problem. We don't. We don't listen to everything God says. We don't love everything God says. We don't obey everything he says. We have our moments. But none of us can lay claim to the blameless life. Not if we're honest with ourselves. And the psalmist was honest. Have a look at verse 5. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. He opened with the blessed life is being blameless. But then he quickly prays, oh, but I'm not, God. I wish I was. May I be steadfast in your ways, but I'm not. Verse 8, I'll keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. He obviously wasn't confident in his own blamelessness. Don't forsake me, God. Verse 176, listen to how the psalm ends. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. The psalm opens with a glorious scene. The blessed life. The blessed life for whoever keeps God's ways. And then as the psalmist prays, he quickly gets into his inability, his desperate need for God's mercy, for God seeking him. His sin was a huge problem that hovers over the entire prayer. And so sin, our sin, is the first problem we face as we want the blessed life. And then, as I mentioned last week, this psalmist also had many enemies. He had many external problems as well. As you read through the psalm during the week, did you notice how many times affliction, the word affliction, is used in the psalm? He suffered plots, reproach, and taunts. His soul clung to the dust. I want to suggest that's not a happy way to be. His soul clung to the dust. It melted for sorrow. The wicked seized him with hot indignation. The insolent spread lies about him. And this theme of affliction is concentrated in verses 81 to 88. I'm going to read those. My soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. My eyes long for your promise. I ask, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, yet I have not forgotten your statutes. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law, and your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life that I may keep your testimonies of your mouth. I mean, it was only back in verse 71 where the psalmist was able to say, it's good for me that I was afflicted. It was only back in verse 74 where the psalmist was putting himself forward as someone who rejoices. But here in verses 81 to 88, it's as if he's reached the end of his tether. He compared himself to a dried up, withered wineskin. It appeared to him that his time on earth had come to an end. Brothers and sisters, true faith, genuine faith, mature faith faces up to our problems. We are sinful and desperately in need of God's mercy. We also face an onslaught of external enemies. From the moment Adam and Eve rebelled against God, this world has been broken. Genuine faith faces up to our internal problem of sin and pleads with God, and our external problems that we face from a broken world and pleads with God. And so there's this glorious picture that Psalm 119 opens with, the blessed life. Yes, I want that. And we immediately are confronted with our big problem, our sin, and a broken world. And so that brings us to the plea that this psalmist had. And remember, what we often do with seeing God's way and God's design is, well, we ignore it. no, I can work out my happy life without God. Or we get crushed by God's demands of holiness. Or we become proud. I can do that. That's not what this psalmist did. Verse after verse after verse, he pleaded with God. Our sin is not decisive. God is. Our enemies are not decisive. God is. Cancer is not decisive. God is. Mental health is not decisive. God is. Broken relationships are not decisive. God is. Our inability, our ability is not decisive. God is. The psalmist poured everything out to God because God is God. I'm going to just read some of the ways that he pleaded with God. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Let me not wander from your commandments. O Lord, teach me your statutes. Deal bountifully with your servant. Open my eyes. Hide not your commandments from me. Take away from me scorn and contempt. Give me life according to your word. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. Strengthen me according to your word. Put false ways far from me. Graciously teach me your law. Let me be not put to shame. Teach me, O Lord. Give me understanding. Lead me in the path of your commandments. Incline my heart to your testimonies. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Confirm to your servant your promise. Turn away the reproach that I dread. Give me life. That was just the first 40 verses. Pleading and pleading and pleading, taking every problem to God. I need help. When you face your problems, don't think that you know better than God. Don't think God wants to crush you. Don't be proud before God. Plead with God. Our problems are not decisive. God is. And so every day, we make our plea to God. So there's the blessed life. We want it. And then we immediately see we've got problems. Our sin and a broken world. And so we bring our plea to God every day. And brothers and sisters, there's pardon. There is pardon. Have a look at how this psalm ends. Verse 176. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant. Now that might sound like an unresolved prayer. That might sound like the child who always sought her or his parents' approval but never got it. Seek me. I've gone astray. I hope that you seek me. But you would only think Psalm 119 sounds unresolved if you haven't drunk deeply from the Word of God. You would only think that verse 176 sounds unresolved if you don't know God. God seeks out his children. No matter how far they've wandered, no matter what they've done, there is no action, there's no deed, there is no word that is out of God's reach. It would be a mistake to read verse 176 as unresolved, as full of doubt. Verse 176 is full of trust. I have gone astray. You seek me. I've got nothing. You seek me. I trust you. Brothers and sisters, God pardons the repentant sinner. God comforts the weary wanderer. God rescues the afflicted saint. It's the story of the Bible, isn't it? The blessed life was there, Adam and Eve, made in God's image, perfect relationship, living in the blessed garden, blessed with God, blessed with each other. It is wonderful. The blessed, happy life. And then they decided they knew better. No. We can seek happiness somewhere else apart from you, God. And it all started there, didn't it? Rebellion and treason against a good God. And all broken. Remember Genesis 3? And do you remember what else is in Genesis 3? In the midst of all of that going on, the good God who gave blessing to Adam and Eve and then is rebelled against by them, clothed them. And he also made a promise. A child will be born that will crush sin and death and rebellion and all of that bad. That's who our God is. Yes, he calls us to live the blameless life because he's good and holy and knows what's best for us. And then he also sees our blame and our sin and our rebellion. And he so loved the world that he sent his only son to die in our place. And so now the blessed life is found through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. We are not blameless. Jesus is. We are not perfect. Jesus is. When it comes to walking in God's ways, in God's law and keeping it all, we fail, we stumble, we trip, we fall over. Jesus joyfully walks in all of God's ways. Brothers and sisters, real question. After Adam and Eve rebelled against God and God came into the garden to talk with them, where did God find Adam and Eve? Hiding. I think the bushes are off camera, so I'm not able to walk off. Hiding behind bushes. We don't have to hide behind bushes of shame and guilt. We don't have to labor and toil and try and earn God's blessing. We simply bring our plea to God. And our plea is Jesus Christ. We sin. Jesus is blameless. We deserve death. Jesus died for us. Jesus is our righteousness, our blamelessness, our law keeper. Through Jesus, no more hiding, no more being crushed, no more being proud. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea. A great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. I am going to give Charity Bancroft a huge hug in heaven. It's my favorite hymn. Psalm 119 begins with the glorious picture of the blessed life, which is found by walking in all of God's ways. And as we contemplate that, we are immediately presented with a problem: our sin and a broken world. Our sin and the broken world we live in, but God did not abandon us to our problem. We have a plea. His name is Jesus Christ, and through Jesus we have pardon. And now listen in carefully. We get hit with problems every day. And so as we think about how to deal with our problems through plea and pardon, don't think virus, think diabetic. Let's see if this one's going to work. We've got a virus running around, don't we, COVID? And so we're hoping for a vaccine. And we're really hoping for one that we can only need to get jabbed once, maybe twice. Okay, if once a year, all right. A diabetic needs an insulin jab every day. Brothers and sisters, we need daily spiritual insulin. We need to hear from our Father every day. Every day we sin, every day we get hit with problems, and so every day we need to hear from our Father. And so three applications to end, and quickly. Every day, read your Bible. Thank you, Alison. What a way to kick off our kid spots for the year. Every day, read your Bible. Brothers and sisters, you can do this. You have daily habits. You do. So make Bible reading one of them. I use a reading plan. That there's nothing better about a reading plan than you spontaneously working out what you're going to read. But I'm just going to show you, you can do this. Because I'm only going to give you one part of my reading plan and show you, you can read your Bible every day. And if you do this one part I'm showing you, you would get through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John this year. Okay, who's got a timer? You got to time me. I'm going to read just one part of my Bible reading. It was the one from this morning. Wait till you hear what I read this morning after hearing that sermon. Who's timing me? Danny is up the front here. Okay, you ready? Father, I need to hear from you. Help me taste and see that you are good. Matthew 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn." Sorry, guys. Pause timing. I don't do this every morning. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Dan, how long was that? 70 seconds. So just over 1 minute. You could give it a minute and a half. Now let's say your mind went to, "I wonder how the Australian cricket team's going to go today." And so you read it again. Well, that was just 140 seconds as you read it again. If you read it three times, that's just over 3 minutes. What, 3.5 minutes we're up to now. You can do this. Daily Bible reading. And then as you're reading, remember how you opened up with prayer, "I need to hear you, help me taste and see that you're good"? Don't try and walk away with remembering all those verses. Ask God for one promise that's going to get you through the day. I've got an extended family heartache going on at the moment. It's crushing me in a lot of ways. So there's my verse, verse 4. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Thank you, God. And as I get hit today with some news, I don't know what it's going to be, but if I'm mourning, help me remember you comfort me. You can do this. We can do this. And so the second application is prayer. Let your Bible reading turn into prayer and talking to God. and let it flow through. George Mueller is famous for being a man of faith and extraordinary prayer. And under George, these orphanages were started in London and hundreds of kids' lives were saved. An amazing, amazing story, 19th century, go home and read about it. He struggled with prayer. He wanted to get up early, he wanted to pray, and he couldn't until he realized, let my prayer come out of my Bible reading. So he'd sit down in the morning, he would read his Bible, and let that reading, hearing from God, then turn into talk to God. Brothers and sisters, we can do this. We can read our Bible and we can pray. And the third application is let's share that with each other. We're Bible people because we're God people. And so let's be that person. Oh, here comes Susie. She's going to tell me what God said again. She's going to give me more Bible. That's who we are. That's who we are. And no, I'm not talking about the academic Bible guy. Calvin says this, Piper says that, I'm a four-point reformer. Oh, look at what the text says. No! Here's how my father spoke to me today. Here's what I heard from my Jesus. That moon, my God made it. Today, my soul is sucking up dust. And here's how my father comforted me. We use the personal pronouns that this psalmist used. My God, my Savior, my Father, I'm in trouble. I need help. Give me life. What a glorious picture, the blessed life. We've got a huge problem. Our sin and a world full that's broken. But we have a plea, and his name is Jesus. And through Jesus, we have a pardon. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are great and glorious. You sit in heaven and do all that you please, and we have many problems. And so we come before you, pleading with you, Father. Would you be our help? Would you be our strength? Would you be our rock? And we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've dealt with our biggest problem. And so we pray that as we wait, we would drink for his return. We pray that we'd drink deeply, deeply, deeply from your promises. Father, we pray this so that you would get glory and that we would find our joy in you. Amen.